Well, I am excited today to hear Jeremiah speak about their mission work in Papua New Guinea. He and I met a couple weeks ago, and I was just astounded by all that they went to take the Word of God, these ancient words, to the people of their country. And I could sit here and tell you all the things we talked about. We made a little powtoon with some interesting facts, but Jeremiah's got so much more to tell you about what they're doing. They're going to be going back in June, and it's going to be a different world for them this time when they go back. They've got some life changes and some family changes, and so I hope you'll touch on those about how important they feel that God has called them to go and make disciples and the sacrifices that they're willing to make to see that happen. And so I know you're going to be blessed because I've already been blessed, and so Jeremiah.
All right, I guess I'm coming back down.
Thank you. Okay, well, he's given me about 2 minutes to do my part of the service, so I better talk fast because that's hard for me to squeeze something into 2 minutes. But to start out this morning, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to you guys as part of our team, part of our sending team who has allowed us to be in Papua New Guinea as your hands and feet. I don't know if you guys know about this. I mean, we don't have very much of a history here at First Baptist Church. Back in 2008, one of your missions team committee members, Glennis Fonda, happened to meet Jeremiah's grandfather at the nursing home. I think it was at Lake Point. And they got to talking about our ministry. We were in Papua New Guinea at the time. And they got to talking about what we were doing, what the Lord was doing in our little tribe in that corner of the world. And through that connection God had ordained, Glennis brought the ministry back here to the team here at First Baptist, talked about it, and you guys decided to join our team. That was back in 2008, so a few years back. We had never stepped foot through the doors at the church here. The Lord had put this partnership together, and we have been so blessed because of it, and hopefully, Lord willing, you have been blessed through it as well. You are a huge part of our sending team. You're a huge part of what's allowing us to be where we are. Jeremiah's going to talk about that. So we want to just extend a huge thank you to you. Also, a huge thank you to you for your welcome to us as we came back in. We entered in back to the States in June last year. And one of the huge things that has really helped this mama's heart is to see how much the youth group, Pastor Dick and his team, really embrace our kids, really help them get involved, get engaged. Oh, my goodness. It has helped their transition into this new world for them go so much better than it could have otherwise. So I don't know if he's here, but I just want to give a special shout out and thank you to Pastor Dick and the youth team as well, the Sunday school teachers. Just thank you, thank you, thank you so much. How am I doing?
Good, yeah.
Like 30 more seconds. Just as a small token of our appreciation too, we have brought back a carving from Papua New Guinea. It is a bird of paradise that has been carved on bamboo. So we'd like you to take it, hang it someplace in the church so that you can remember us over there. I'd like to present this to Sharon Slade, if she's here. She works with the missions committee, who has been vital and instrumental in keeping us connected. If she's not here, I'm going to give it to Pastor. Are you okay with being number two? Give it to her later? Okay. All right, I'll give it to her later. Okay. Thank you very much again. We just really love you guys, appreciate you guys, and we couldn't be there doing what we're doing without you.
Okay, thank you very much. I just want to echo what April just said. Just, you guys have been such an encouragement to us over the years, such a blessing to us, and we are just thrilled to be able to come back and share what God has been doing through you guys there in Papua New Guinea. So we're just very, very excited to be here and share the ministry with you guys. We have kind of an interesting and unique ministry, working with tribal people, extremely remote, very isolated people group. And I'll just kind of give you a brief history. I know a lot of you guys have heard a little bit about what has been going on through Sunday school. We've been sharing in several different Sunday school classes over this past however many months that we've been here. So I'll try to make this somewhat brief. so that you guys aren't totally bored. But I just wanted to kind of share what God has done since the beginning in Dinanga in Papua New Guinea. So we arrived in Papua New Guinea in 2002. You can go ahead and go to the next slide there. Papua New Guinea is located right above Australia, for those of you who don't know. And we moved into, when we first moved to Papua New Guinea, we lived at a support center for a few months, learned the language and culture of the country. Melanesian Pidgin is the language that they speak kind of as a whole in that country. So we learned that language, and then we moved into a tribal location where that yellow dot is. The name of that place is Dinangit. And Dinangit is extremely isolated. The only way in and out is by small engine plane, or you could hike it, but it takes about 2 days hike to the nearest road, and then another 6 hours to the first city, and then to our support center would be about a 10-hour drive. So 2 days hiking plus the 10-hour drive or a 45-minute flight. So obviously we like to do the flight. But so we moved in 2003 into the Dinangit tribe there. And when we first moved in, these guys were totally totally aware of their lostness. They were totally aware that they didn't know about God. And so we asked them, you know, what do you guys think about us moving in and teaching you about God? And they were unanimously, they just said, yes, please come. They actually told us at that time that they felt like they were the forgotten people. They actually said those words, that they had been forgotten, that many other places around them had missionaries or had a translation, but they had none of that. They had no missionaries, no translation, no anything. They said they were the forgotten people. So, I mean, that pretty much broke our hearts right then. And we said, okay, yeah, Lord, the Lord is leading us here. And we moved into the tribe in 2003 and began learning their language and culture. My goodness, 5 years. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done. But by the Lord's grace and mercy, he allowed April and I to both learn the language there with our coworkers. And we're just so grateful for that. And we could go into a whole talk about what the Lord taught me during that time, just about his faithfulness. But the Lord did allow us to learn the language there. And once we learned the language, we were finally able to teach them literacy. Nobody had ever worked in there before. They didn't have anything written down. There was no alphabet at all, so we were able to develop an alphabet for them and teach them how to read and write in their own language. Very, very exciting days. Then finally, when we were done with that, in 2008, we were finally able to start presenting this message of God to them. We started at the very, very beginning, and we taught about how God came to this earth, and he died for them. But before we got to that point, we started and talked about who God is. Who is God? They had all their ideas of who God was. They had ideas that they came from this albino snake, or that they came from, they had different ideas. This clan came from the albino snake. This clan came from this tree kangaroo. They had all these different ideas of what was going on, but they had no idea that God came to this earth to die for them. So we began teaching. We taught 5 days a week. For 15 weeks, we taught every day for 5 days a week, and we start at the very beginning. Who is God? Genesis 1:1. It started talking about who God was, who they are in relationship to God, or in relation to God, that they are sinners, and that they are in desperate need of a qidakamna, or a savior, a saving man, who could come and take care of their sin problem. So we walked through and just spent those 15 weeks before we even got to the gospel, before we even got to what Jesus had done for them, that he loved them and died for them. So we finally did get to that point where we were able to actually present the gospel to them. And can you imagine being a Dinangit person thinking that you had been forgotten for all these years, literally generation upon generation upon generation of just living, surviving, and dying with no idea about God, no idea about Jesus, and then finally being told that, yeah, God loves you. You're not forgotten. They know who they are. The Dananga people know who they are in relationship to, or in relation to the world. They know that they're kind of viewed as being kind of low on the social ladder. They knew that. But yet they also heard that God loved them so much that he sent his only son to die for them. Wow. They were just blown away. Totally blown away that God loved them that much. And what an incredible privilege it was for April and I and our coworkers to be able to tell them, you know what, you've not been forgotten. God loves you, and he died for you. Jesus died for you. What an incredible thing that was for us. We feel so honored and privileged to be able to be the ones for the first time in history to be able to present the gospel to these guys. What an incredible thing. So you can go to the next slide, please. I forgot about that one. That was our literacy. Continue to the next one, please. So we presented the gospel to them. We did all these dramas and different things and showed them that, man, Jesus loves you and he died for you. In the next one, please. So we taught in Sakam, which is our home village. That's where we live. We taught in Sakam first, and a church was born in 2008. And incredibly, by God's grace, when the entire village came every day to the teaching. And then when we finally presented the gospel, about 80% of the village got saved. It was an incredible transformation. You would not all glory to God. What an incredible transformation it was to be able to see these guys, man. It changed their lives. It changed their relationship with their families and with their friends. Man, it was an incredible thing to witness. Sorry, can you go back one slide? So we taught in Sakam in 2008. Then in 2010, we went to a place called Tamunat. Us missionaries, along with some of the Danangit believers from Sakam, we teamed up together and went to Tamunat and did the same thing over again. We taught literacy there. We also taught this teaching, starting again in the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, and teaching up through Christ. And then on. We didn't just stop there. We continued to teach after that and are continuing even to this day. But so in Tamunat, we presented the gospel in 2010, and another church was born there. And again, almost the entire village got saved. They were just so in awe of what God did for them. They saw their need. They knew they needed a Savior. And they were just amazed that God himself would come to this earth and die for them. Very exciting. And then in 2013, an incredible thing happened. The Tamunat Church with the Sakam Church, they teamed together and went to this place called Bunganin, up on top there. They went together, and the exciting thing about this was that us missionaries had nothing to do with it. We sat back and watched them go out and preach the gospel by themselves to this new group of people. And wow, what an incredible thing that was for us. When we first moved in, it was our goal to work ourselves out of a job. And so to be able to actually see that, to be able to see them taking the gospel, taking the word of God and going and preaching that to other people, still within their language group, but preaching it to these other villages. Wow, what an incredible thing that was to see. So you'll see there's also three other locations there, Makwa, Siwon, and Torik. Those three have not heard the gospel yet. And so we would just ask you to pray that God would open the doors for those places. Makwa especially, we have a real deep desire to take the gospel there. But there are leaders who are preventing us from to go. So please pray that God would work in the hearts of those leaders, especially Manasseh, who is the main leader, who is saying, absolutely, you cannot come. No way. He's preventing about 250 to 300 people from hearing the gospel. These guys want to hear. The majority of the people want to hear but the leaders have ultimate control, really, over them, and are stopping the teaching from coming to that village. So please pray that God would tear down those walls and open up the door for going into Makwa and Siwon and Torek as well. So God is at work. God is working there. And in 2014, we saw what God was doing, realized that they are actually functioning as a church. They are working together. So in 2014, our team, it's three families, ourselves and two other families, we looked at this and we decided, you know, God is working, but we have been here this entire time. So anytime there's a problem, anytime that anything comes up, the people quickly run to us. The leaders in the church ask us, you know, what should we do about this or what should we do about this? So we thought, you know what, let's leave for a plan, let's have a planned absence of 1 year. And so we did. In 2014, we moved out of the tribe and moved to our support center for 1 year to give the church time to just function on their own. And so that's what we did in 2014. And it's been a hard time, but a really neat time too. We've seen God really work during that time. And so while we were out, we saw some difficult things. We saw some areas where the church does need some more teaching and things. So when we go back, we're not done yet. When we go back, we'll still move back into the tribe. And we'll continue to work on the translation. Please go on to the next slide. Yeah, we'll continue to work on the translation. This is something that I am working full-time on there. You can see about 39% is complete. It's done, ready for printing. 21% is in progress, different stages of checking. We still have 40% left to do, 40% of the New Testament. So please be praying for wisdom, for guidance, that God would give us the ability to finish that. You'll notice on the back table, just in the back in the foyer, there are some prayer cards and different things like that. Please take one of those and pray for us. There's also a sign-up sheet. Please write your name down if you want to get on our newsletter list. There's also this out there. This is the translated scripture up to the point when we printed this. It's just a lot of portions, but it's the Dinangit translation in different stages, and different, not stages, but portions of the translation that's ready to print. So we're very excited to be able to give this, even though it's not complete yet, but to give them part of the New Testament. It's been very, very neat. So please pray for us as we go back. This time is going to be very difficult. When we go back, we're going to be leaving our two boys at the support center there at Lapilo in Papua New Guinea. And it's going to be a difficult one for us. We're going to move back into the tribe, but we know that they need to be out in school. And so this will be the first time that we're going to be separated for about a couple months at a time. So please be praying for us. This is a huge one for us. It's not something we ever wanted to do, but we really feel like this is the direction the Lord is leading us. So we'd appreciate your prayers for that. I'm going to go ahead and show a video now. Video kind of gives a history, not a history, but kind of explains what's going on there in Dinangit right now. So please go ahead and show that. Thank you.
What you are hearing are stories of the way things used to be. For countless generations, the Dinangit people have been taught from infancy to fear the spirit world, to try to manipulate the spirit world, and to blame the spirit world for every problem, every sickness, every death. They believed that if they lived just right, performed the appropriate rituals at the right time, appeased the right spirits, if they could do it all just right, then life would always be great. Of course, this was impossible, and they knew it, so the tensions led to bitterness, hatred, and even murder. Praise God, things did not remain that way for them. The Lord had a plan. He wanted them to know Him as their Creator. And not just their Creator, but the Creator of all things in heaven and on earth. He is a jealous God, worthy of the glory of every nation and tribe. And He was not content for the Dinangit people to worship lies and to live in fear. He had a plan to show them His Son, to show them they could not live life perfectly, but that He had made a way for them to come to Him.
Geri rap e amguyang wate ite gotten gin doni sanga tanga de awyang pe ne nangna de awyang tanga tak poko ninte wambin ko ne ko ma tanga bu jis nok gut ninta ne at jis sin abak ninta sin yagat pak on ninta ne at ko ma ngin ne ko ma
What a change we witnessed. They went from hiding in their houses at night and at certain times of the year to openly declaring their loyalty and love to God for what He had done. I remember one man in the middle of the crowd of angry leaders getting down on his knees and pleading with them, saying, "I was just like you. I didn't believe in what Christ had done for me, and I lied to people and I tried to trick them. But Jesus died for my sin. He did it. He took my punishment, and now I'm free."
That was just the beginning. A lot has been happening in Dinangit since then. The Lord has raised up faithful Bible teachers from among them, and we've been blessed to watch the Holy Spirit take over their lives as they've grown in their gifts and abilities. We've been working side by side with these believers for several years now, and I continue to be amazed and just humbled by their excitement in the Word and their energy to serve and do the hard things.
The Sunday school kiya nga taktay, naktay ako yun. Nung yung kawangat dyan man niyo, panggan naktayaw yung tao niyo. Nakat man doon is mang, nung ba nga mo kundok manit, panggan yung tamin na Sunday School pita wangkat tayo ngayon. Nakat may yawa mo namin din kanya ni Yangkat. Nakat doon naman sa mga may din niya ni Yangkat. Uyong niyo. Uyong niyo ang etngo. Takat ka niyo. Nakama, gagayok. Doko nga mong gagayok na niya.
Oh, matatang pang gote nin pang buka pang pita ka nung yung gote nin pang yusim takta o em sa yusim may plaus yung stick long wokim ka din wala na yung at yak takal mong gote nin pang itin buka huya ka itkal mong tangan na itin nin pang at pangadyam na liyak pita ka wala buka yung yak takal mong.
They're growing. They're excited about being a part of God's work. They're teaching their children to trust the Lord. They're worshiping Him and trying to glorify Him with their lives. They're still a very young church, and though we're working as fast as we can, we haven't been able to give them the entire New Testament yet. So there's still much for them to grow in. But isn't that true for all of us?
Sinten ko pa kwa kada na ako ng jawa din. Pangan, God ta ako na ang piyakabiyam na anong kukuha ng nam.
This is where you come in. The Dinangat Church is just as much a part of the body of Christ as you and I. I love that one day we will be able to physically introduce them to you in heaven, where we will speak one language and worship Him together forever. Many of you have been praying for these guys for years. Thank you. Now that they are believers, you might be encouraged to know that they are praying for you. We want you to keep it up. Keep these fellow brothers and sisters before the throne in prayer. They have hopes and dreams, and they have struggles and hardships. You can reach out and impact their lives through the gift of prayer. Pray about discipleship within the church, that they would learn not only how to apply God's word to their own lives, but that they would know how to encourage one another, lift up one another, and strengthen each other in the word. Also, there are several surrounding villages that, up to this point, have not been open to hearing God's word. Our believers would love to share with them the freedom that is found in Christ. Pray for open doors and pray for God to raise up more laborers from among the Dinangat Church to reach out to these other villages when the door is open.
Thank
you for your partnership with our family, and thank you for your part in the lives of the Dinangat Church. We're in this together. The Lord has made us a team to make His name known among every nation, tribe, and tongue. What an awesome job we have.
Excuse me. God is at work. He is doing amazing things there. What a privilege it is to be a part of that. I want to just read really quick. Pastor asked me to do this. John 3:16. Read John 3:16 in the Dinangat language so you guys can hear kind of what it sounds like. John 3:16 says this. Tangan inagot. Gota ko abjam na tabwelgaman sinok niya kot watatang pang inakan munani tiptang kuwekan we tangit mang sinat ngot. Wata nite imunani wata niyang piyang iminang kiyang wata ko makum niye te itmang itnang kiyang wiyang anagot. That's what Dinangat sounds like. That's what God loves you. God loves the whole world that He sent His only Son to die for you. That's what that sounds like in Dinangat. What? How awesome is that? How cool is that? So God is working in Dinangat, but Dinangat is only one village out of one tribe out of 850 plus language groups in Papua New Guinea. 850 plus language groups in New Guinea. Many of them without the gospel. Many of them have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. They couldn't hear it even if they wanted to, because nobody knows their language. While we watched that video, approximately 315 people around the world died and went to a Christless eternity without ever having the opportunity to hear the gospel. 315 people just while we watched that video. You know, Romans 15, you can go to the next slide, please. Romans 15, 20 and 21 says, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation. But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. This is something that Paul wrote around 2,000 years ago. And you would think that by now, in 2,000 years, everyone in the world would have the opportunity to hear the gospel, right? That's just not the case. There are still many, many millions of people who've never had the opportunity to hear. And this is why April and I have chosen to give our lives to go take the gospel to those who've never had the chance to hear. We have made a little list here of people, this is of people groups who are still without the gospel right now. This is around the world. How many people groups do not have the gospel? Now, this is two-sided column, and I didn't use these huge fonts or anything. I don't know if you guys can see this. We're talking literally thousands and thousands of language groups who do not have the gospel. This is around the world. And it keeps going and going. This list represents literally hundreds of millions of people who do not have the opportunity to hear. Can you bring it up this way just a bit, April? Hundreds of millions of people in the world today with no opportunity. They couldn't hear it if they wanted to. Even if there was a radio station somehow broadcasting it out, it wouldn't be in their language. It wouldn't be in their language. These languages here don't have a translation. How are they going to hear John 3:16 in their language? 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote this, that he had this desire to go to those where Christ had not been named. And yet, all these years have passed and Christ is still not named in these places. That should challenge our hearts. That should burden us. We all have the responsibility to be involved. We all have a responsibility to take the gospel to those around the world who've never had the opportunity to hear. Now, your mission field might be right here in Augusta, and that's good. The gospel needs to be proclaimed here in Augusta to your family, to your friends, to the people at school. It absolutely has got to go out here. But we cannot forget about the people around the world and the people that are mentioned on this list here who've never had the opportunity to hear. Maybe God wants you to somehow be involved in taking the gospel. Maybe God wants you to actually go and to reach one of these people groups. Maybe he wants you to go. Maybe he wants you to be a sender. We still need people who will partner with us to help us be able to go. We need people who are going to stand behind us in prayer saying, we are going to pray for you so that you can stay there and be healthy enough to stay there and to have the wisdom to translate the Bible and to have the encouragement to put our kids in the boarding school and us move back into the tribe. We desperately need people who will stand with us and pray. We need people who will partner with us financially so that we can go and so that we can get on the plane and take those flights back and forth. Maybe God wants you to be involved by doing something like that. But I do know that God wants us to be involved somehow. Romans 10, 13 through 15 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? How are these guys going to hear unless somebody goes? How are they going to hear? How are they going to believe if they've never heard? Now, we can look at this and be tempted to feel very discouraged and overwhelmed, but it is exciting. God is still building his church. God is working. God is working in places like Dinangit, right, like we just saw. God is working. He is building his church, and the gates of hell cannot stand against it. God is changing lives in Dinangit. People are being saved. People who used to be on this list are now hearing the gospel and are being saved and are glorifying God with their lives. Can you go to the next slide, please? But I ask you, in the next one, and I ask you to consider, though, how God wants you to be involved. My challenge to you is, how does God want you to be involved in reaching the rest of these people? It is God's desire for us to go make disciples. Like I said, that could be here in Augusta. It could be overseas. But God does absolutely want every believer to be involved in making disciples to all nations. And how are you going to be involved in that great commission? Thank you very much.
That The reason for that is when I visit with him and I see what's going on, and I begin to think, wow, how weak I am sometimes in my excuses for not sharing the gospel with somebody. We are just a little over 4 weeks away from Easter, one of the greatest or the two great foundational events in our faith. So as I think of the Markleys going to share the gospel, my challenge for you in these next 4 weeks is, what if every family in church brought one unchurched family on Easter Sunday to share about the gospel and the power of the resurrection, not only in our lives, but their lives? That's not a convenient time. We're all busy, but we don't have to learn 850 languages. We already have the language that we need to share. And so I would urge you to begin, not only pray for the Markleys, but pray about a family that you know that, one, needs to hear the gospel, and two, needs a church family that will come alongside them and walk with them as we go. So as we get ready to go to Sunday school, I just want to pray. And again, you heard Jeremiah say, we want to pray for the village of Makwa, where the leaders are holding back the gospel. Pray for those leaders, that God would just touch their hearts and bring them to their knees, so that they might be able to share the gospel. Also, again, pray for Jeremiah and April. Jordan and Judah are going to be staying at boarding school. Now, those of you especially who are mothers probably understand the anxiety of leaving your two teenage boys and not being able to see them for 8 or 9 weeks at a time. So keep them in your prayers for that way. The other thing that Jeremiah didn't say, the other two families that have been working with them in the village are not returning to the village. So they'll be there by themselves. So they need our prayers, right? Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can see your work around the world. That through Jeremiah and April and the family, that our presence is there with them in the mission field. We thank you that we can be a part of that and have been able to support them not only with our finances but our prayers. And we lift them up to you. Having been away now for a while, returning to the village will be a little bit tougher. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless them, watch over them, and protect them, Lord. That you would just bind Satan and keep him from that place. Keep him from the villages that need to hear the gospel, that so many others who have a desire and a hunger to hear your word can finally be blessed with hearing the eternal hope that we have to share with them. We thank you, Lord, for their message. We thank you for their service and their call to the mission field. Help us to remember that we too are called to the mission field. It begins in Augusta and Butler County and Kansas, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Help us to set aside our excuses, Lord, and be obedient to your call on our life. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.